from Russian hackers allegedly meddling in the US election to concerns about the security of our census results, the issue of data security has never been more prominent. On top of that, there's also the issue of the cost of storing all that data and information we're producing. There's been news over the weekend that two police departments in the United States will stop using body cameras, saying the cost of securely storing all that data, video data, is too high. But here's a question for you. Where is all of that data being stored? Where does it go? Matt Bevan is looking into it.
For the purposes of this story, I need a photo. I'm Gen Y, so I'll take a selfie. Good. Now I'll upload that photo to Facebook so people can see how handsome I am. Now, here's a question. Where did that go? The cloud, right? Well, more specifically, it went through the Wi-Fi system here at the ABC, into the phone network, then to Sydney. I'm not entirely sure what happened to it then, but there's a good chance it went to the inner city suburb of Alexandria, then in a data centre on Burke Road, it went down into the Southern Cross undersea cable, then off to America, to Silicon Valley via New Zealand and Hawaii. In Silicon Valley, there's a good chance it was rerouted across the Atlantic to a giant data centre somewhere in the Arctic Circle. We produce a lot of data. In fact, the amount of data we produce doubles every 2 years, and it all has to be stored somewhere. To find out where exactly that is and what state it's in, I need an industry expert like this guy.
My name is Colin McCabe. I'm a director of consulting for the Australian New Zealand business for Red Hat.
Red Hat is a company you've probably never heard of. Among other things, they make software for servers.
In fact, out of the Fortune 100 in the United States, I think it's 100% of them use our software.
I asked Colin what happened to my selfie and how secure it was while it was travelling around the world.
That may go through up to 20 different routing spots, which are sort of like an intersection, and at any one of those stops, that data could actually be looked at and inspected by a third party. And that's one of the really important reasons that people make sure that they're using a secure connection to the internet.
Facebook has data centres all over the world, including Asia, America, and even one the size of Melbourne's Crown Casino way up in the Arctic Circle in northern Sweden. It uses outside air to cool the servers and cut back on air conditioning costs. So, if our data is being stored all over the world, can we trust that it's not being stored somewhere unsafe? Could your emails be sitting on a server in Russia or China? Well, probably not.
Companies that people deal with, such as Facebook, are bound by the laws of the place they're registered in, which means that they can't really go storing and shipping their data to some of those third-party countries that you're talking about without getting into a lot of trouble.
However, as Professor Vijay Varadharajan from Macquarie University's Advanced Cyber Security Research Centre says, some large companies like Google and Amazon have data centres all over the world to increase speed for industries which really need fast connections, like the financial sector.
So they typically tend to have one in the South America region, couple in the European region. Singapore is often a base, Tokyo or Seoul is likely to be one of them, and then several of them will have Sydney as a base.
But physical proximity to data centres isn't necessary to hack into them. If you can find a gap in security, you can get in from pretty much anywhere.
They actually get into the data centres, not physically, but they'll hack into the centre and, for example, dump all the passwords from LinkedIn or dump all the credit card information from Sony, which happened a while ago. So they're actually attacks into those data centres.
But data centres are fairly secure. Because they need to be. Colin McCabe says nowadays data centres are more valuable than bank vaults.
Because the information held inside those data centres is not just financial information, but it is the corporate identity of the company.
Data centres are huge. Big ones in America have their own power stations, their own water supply for cooling, and physical security similar to that of a high-security prison or a military base. There's security guards, big fences and crash-proof gates, as well as internal security measures as well.
These have biometric readers as well as voice identification. There is data center which weighs you on the way in and on the way out to make sure you're leaving only with the same amount of weight as you went in there with.
You're probably better off trying to rob a Las Vegas casino.
Say we get into the cage and down the elevator we can't move and into the vault we can't open. We're just supposed to walk out of there with $150 million in cash on us without getting stopped?
Yeah,
These data centers are just going to keep growing too, because we keep on making massive amounts of data. Red Hat's Colin McCabe uses the example of a Boeing 787.
Those planes create half a terabyte of data every flight. And that data has to be stored for the entire life of the aeroplane.
If you multiply that by the number of planes currently in the air, right now it's about 10,000, you can imagine how the data stacks up. And that's just one industry. The infrastructure which runs the internet, including data centres and undersea cables, are increasingly important. Australia is connected to the wider internet by half a dozen or so cables, which connect to Perth and Sydney. Professor Vijay Varadharajan says keeping those cables secure is very important.
From a physical security point of view, it is an issue for a place like Australia, because imagine somebody cutting some of these cables. You know, planes can't take off, you know, banks can't do transactions.
Tasmanians got a taste of what happens when an undersea internet connection goes offline during the repair of the Basslink cable earlier this year. Data centres are big business, and with the exponential growth of data, they're only getting bigger. And this brings in other considerations as well.
Data centres do have an environmental footprint. The industry is certainly conscious of this.
That's Professor Brett Nielsen. He looks into broader implications of globalisation at Western Sydney University.
There's an interesting case both in the Netherlands and in Paris where the heat from data centres is actually being decentralised. Servers are being placed in people's homes so that the heat can be used for domestic purposes.
Heating your home with the power of the internet. It's an interesting idea. Professor Brett Nielsen also says fairly recently, governments have started banning fishing boats from trawling near undersea cables in order to avoid damaging them.
And it's only very recently that governments around the world have decided that the data economy is a more important one than the fishing economy.
So data centres are more important than bank vaults, and undersea cables are more important than fishing boats. What a world. And also I can show my friends selfies. Ooh, 3 likes already.
There you go. Matt Bevan reporting there, floating away up in the cloud. We'll have that piece up on the RN Breakfast website as well after the show, probably kept somewhere in the cloud also.